Amen, amen. I will say tonight is going to be probably very different. I know this morning I kind of pulled a Pastor Cowan. Which, granted, I didn't preach as long, but I told you I wasn't going to keep you near my length of time, and I did, my normal about 30 minutes. But tonight, I don't have a lot of notes. I don't have much typed down. All I can say is I have a burden. I really feel like God is wanting to do something, and I hope I can relay what I feel here tonight. I definitely don't think I'm going to be over 15 minutes. It's going to be pretty short, but I really feel that there is a move of God that's got to happen tonight, that he wants to take place. Amen. I hope I can just relay that over. I just have some thoughts typed down, maybe a couple verses, but not a lot. Amen, amen. So Revelation chapter number 3, we're going to verse number 14. Brother Garrett, can you take the keyboard away from me? I was wondering why it was scrolling around. Thank you, sir. Amen. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold." Sorry, cold nor hot. "I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Amen, amen. I want to just focus back on verse number 17. It says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing." Amen, amen. Just for a couple of minutes, a short little period of time, I want to preach to you about desperate times. Amen, desperate times. If you can put your Bible down and ask God to help us here tonight, ask God for his spirit to move here tonight and just to take control over this service. God, we worship you, Jesus. Holy Jesus, name in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we bless your name, we bless your name, we bless your name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. Amen. I want to start off by saying, and this is no new news to you or no new thing. Honestly, none of my message is very new. It's all something you've heard before, but I want to start by saying the devil's whole agenda and end goal has been to destroy the church. It has been to destroy the children of God, to destroy you as a person. The Bible says that he roameth around seeking whom he may devour. It says he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's nothing, he wants to leave no trace of what you once were. He wants to leave nothing, no way, no path for you to be able to find your way back. His end goal is to completely wipe you out. And we can see that in several stories. You can see it as in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we know the story of the fiery furnace and how they were all captives and said, "You need to bow down when the music is played and worship the images that I have set up." And we know the story in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego failed to do so. They didn't want to. They refused to bow down. And one thing I've always wondered to myself was, where were all the other people who were taken captive into Babylon? Were there only three that refused to bow down? Because we only know of three that went into the fiery furnace, and then four in the end, and that was the Son of God himself. And so where was everyone else? Where was their courage? Why did they refuse to stand up against Satan trying to control them and control their worship? And of course, we know the story, and I already said it, you know, but God delivered them out of it. The devil was unsuccessful. And you can look at Daniel and the lion's den, and how when Daniel wanted to come about, he refused to stop praying when the decree came forward. He's like, I will continue to pray no matter what. I will continue to pray. And all throughout history, even when it came forth with Nero just trying to kill and persecute all the Christians, trying to crucify them, hang them on crosses, and burn them at the stakes, and the stoning of Stephen, it's just the devil thought that by destroying the children of God, by ending their lives, by killing them, people would become afraid, and people would not want to worship God anymore and not want to stand up for what is right. But that has not been the case. That has not been the case, but God has consistently prevailed. God has kept his hand on us. God has kept it to where we can stay and worship God. And yes, things have gotten better in America, but Christians are still being persecuted afar off in other countries. But it doesn't matter, because in all of that, God is still good. God has still kept his hands upon all of us. And I love him here today for that. He's made a way for us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's made a way for us to enter into heaven. And we ought to thank him for that here tonight. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I feel sometimes without you hear pressure makes diamonds. And sometimes I feel like when it's too easy, as we see in our text, it's very easy to become complacent. It's super easy to get to a point where maybe no pressure is not good for us, because it comes to the point where it's like we are increased with goods, we're rich, and we have need of nothing. Maybe we're not rich with money, but you can be rich a lot of ways. If you have a family, in my opinion, that you're rich because you have a family. That's not a lot of people have that. If you have your family in church with you, you're rich. You are blessed to have your family in church with you. But it's still hard coming to church, because it's not hard coming to church per se, but it's coming to church and keeping up at a certain level, because then it becomes to a point where we become complacent in our walk with God. This has been laying heavily on me, and I promise I'm preaching to myself right now and for this whole message too. But it comes to a point where we can come to service after service. And I think Pastor Cowan even preached this, but we can get into a rut. We fall into the dangers of following after a pattern, to where we ourselves, we feel like we're fine. We feel like everything is okay, but we are still in a rut. We're in a pattern to where we're not reaching out for anything more. We're content with just maybe shedding one tear that service, or saying a couple prayers, you know, feeling God move that service and in our worship without ever stepping out, without ever coming to church with faith. We feel comfortable with where we're at. And again, I go back to the saying, you know, the pressure making a diamond. It's not easy trying to have great moves of God, because the devil himself is going to put pressure on us. The closer we get to the revival, the more pressure he's going to put on us. The closer we get to better moves of God, the more pressure he's going to put on us.
The closer we get to souls coming and being saved, he's going to start applying even more pressure on us. He's not going to make it easy for this church to experience revival. And I want to sound an alarm tonight. We cannot give in to Satan's pressure, but we have to push back with our own pressure. We might not be gaining any ground, but just equal resistance. We're not losing any ground, but we're putting back our own pressure. I believe this is a key tonight. We want to see a mighty revival. We can't lose any ground. We can't afford to lose anything against what Satan pushes against us. We got to fight against the complacent spirit and just push on, keep on pushing on towards the mark. Amen, amen. I long to have good church. This is what I was wanting to preach about is desperate times. Desperate times. Because there comes a point. I'm going to skip down to a verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're going to go to verse 13 first. It says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And he goes to say in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land. Amen. This is the desperate times I'm talking about. When times are tough, when it seems like there's no other options, when the Satan has us pushed through where we feel completely like giving up and maybe never going back to church again. The Bible says you just humble yourself and pray. Just humble yourselves and pray. Something happens when you get a desperate tone with God. When you start crying out to God in desperation, be like, God, we want to see a move of God in New Life Tabernacle. Oh, God, we want to see revival in this church, Jesus. Oh, these are the desperate times that I'm preaching about. I know it's different from what others might say, desperate times. But I wonder if there's anybody desperate in here for a move of God. I wonder if there's anybody desperate in here to see more than just the normal faces that we all see. Yes, I'm glad we keep coming back and we're all consistent. Oh, but there's people gonna die lost if the church doesn't get desperate. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I told you I'm not going to preach long. I don't have that much longer. But the closer we get to revival, the more resistance we are going to feel. It's not easy to come to. There's times when we can come to church and it feels like it's just so easy to pray and get connected, you know. There's other times it's easy to worship. You ever think about how maybe sometimes Sunday night church is just so explosive and how we have such great church? Well, if you think about it, it's because we've honestly prepared ourselves that morning. We had a full service. We got past everything. We had church Sunday morning. We got in prayer and maybe we had to struggle and push through Sunday morning, but we reached a certain area. And then we come back Sunday night and it's just easy to jump in. But when we're coming Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights, he's waiting outside that door for you to jump right back on your back. I'm telling you, he's not going to make it easy. When you come in here and you feel like it's just walking through mud trying to pray, that's the devil's resistance. That's him trying to keep you from pushing forward to a good service that night. You come in here and maybe you feel so depressed, you don't feel like clapping your hands or worshiping God. That's the resistance of him trying to push up against the church from moving forward. If he's trying to tell you a lie, this church is never going to grow. It just takes two or three gathered in his name. God is in the midst of them. It just took two, Jonathan and his armor bearer, to slay an entire army. You can't tell me with 30 of us in here, we can't see revival. That is a lie from hell. He's trying and pushing against us. It's time we stand up and push back. It's time we get desperate for a move of God. It's time we get desperate for revival. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the old time Pentecost. It might be like, oh, back in the old days. I remember seeing people rolling in the floor. Back in the old days, I remember everybody running the aisles. In the old days, I remember ladies shouting their hair down. In the old days, nothing has changed except us. Nothing has changed. All it is resistance from the devil trying to keep that kind of church from happening in this time. That's new. It's old time Pentecost for this generation. God has not changed. And if we can just push back, that's the sort of level God wants us to reach. It's His will for us to have powerful moves of God every service. Jesus' name. I can recollect some of the most powerful moves of God that I've been in. Some of those have been conferences, others just the home church. But some of y'all can probably remember the times when it's ended and there's just people laying and weeping in the altars for maybe 1 to 2, 3, 4 hours. I don't remember how long it was. But we were in revival in Colorado Springs, and my dad preached this message, and I forget how long we were in altar call. I want to say anywhere between 2 to 4 hours, and just the Spirit of God moving all over that building, and someone over here praying through, and someone over here getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Just as it seems like it's dying down, there's a lady in the back that all of a sudden something gets a hold of her, and she starts to get renewed, and someone way over here starts, a little kid starts getting the Holy Ghost, and some brother starts getting rid of a spirit out of him, and it's just the Spirit of God moving, and in conferences just laying in the floors, weeping and crying, or maybe shouting all over the place from people getting the victory. But that's not God. It is not God's will for that type of church to happen at conferences only. It is God's will for that to happen right here in New Life Tabernacle. But it's God to take more than one individual or two people to start getting desperate for that kind of church right here in this building. Amen. It's got to take more than Pastor Cowan. It's got to take more than Brother Worth's dream of that being here in this church. It's got to take us as a people to rise to the next level and start getting down in the altar saying, God, I'm desperate for a move of God. God, if nobody else is going to show up and pray, I will, God. This is the kind of church I'm talking about. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my question to the church here in New Life is, are you desperate enough for that move of God here in your church yet? Because this church will be what you make it. And if you're not desperate yet, God's not going to force Himself on you. And we can have church like we always have. Yes, we have good church. I'm not saying that at all. Please don't put those words in my mouth. We have great church. But I'm saying if you want to go to that next level, you want to go to the level where God is beckoning and calling us to, are you desperate for that yet? Because if you're not, God will sit back and say, have it your way. You're fine. There's other churches that I can go and visit. But what are we going to do? Because He's came looking for us. He's come into New Life Tabernacle, ready to elevate us. And if you're not ready, God's just going to pass us by. It's time for some young people to get desperate. It's time for us adults to get desperate and start praying and travailing in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, let's stand right now. Can we pray? Oh, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh, come on. I'm talking about the kind of church where the power is so strong and you're connected in prayer, where God's ready to bring your backslidden relative back to church. It could be the next service, but you got to get desperate for it. There's got to be some desperation in your spirit for it. Oh, Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, it's a sacrifice. It's not something that your flesh just up and wants to do. But there's got to be a connection from you and the spiritual realm saying, God, I'm ready. God, no matter how hungry I am, I'm going to do extra fasting. God, I know pastor's been saying to fast extra, but I really haven't been doing it. And I'm starting this week. God, if I fast one day this week, I'm going to fast two instead. Oh, God, I'm desperate.